Welcome back to Ridiculous Ramblings, loves. I'm your host, Amy. It's Monday. How y'all doing? Did you have a good weekend? I hope it was as awesome as y'all are, my loves. Before we get started with today's episode, I did want to make an announcement. First and foremost, I wanted to express my heartfelt thanks to everyone who has tuned in and downloaded the show. I am honored that I get to spend some time with you during the week. I hope you've enjoyed all the ridiculousness as well. So thank you to you, my loves. From the bottom of my heart, I love you all. Now for the announcement. Dun, dun, dun. Are you nervous? I'm nervous and I know what the announcement is. Okay, here we go. I want to give this podcast my all. I know it will never be perfect, but I want to get it as close as possible. Between sicknesses and other life changes, I'm going to make some changes to the show's schedule. I'll now be releasing new episodes on Mondays and Fridays. This will allow for more time to work on each episode and deliver the highest quality content for you, my loves. Monday's episodes will be random topics still, and Friday's episodes will kind of be like a grab bag mix from music to food to whatever little thoughts are rambling around in my head. With summer coming up, there will be more opportunities to head out to some local music festivals and arts and craft shows to feature local talent in the 574. With that being said, if you're a local artist, band, or business and would like to be featured on the show, or if you would like to recommend a local artist, band, or business, let me know. You can send me a message through Facebook, the show's website, or at ridiculousramblings@gmail.com. If you're listening outside of the 574 but still want to recommend someone in your area, reach out. I'd love to hear from y'all. See, that wasn't so bad. Hey, do you guys know what time it is? Hair past a freckle? No, it's time to start the show. Now, let's get to it. Speaking of local bands, Saturday we went to see the 1985 at the Reese in Plymouth, Indiana. What a great show and such a cute venue. There were people of all ages there, little kids that were bopping around and fans who listened when the hits of the 80s first aired on the radio waves. It was so fun to see everyone dressed in 80s attire. The band even had a costume contest for everyone who came dressed up. Yours truly was included. If you'd like to see pictures of my totally rad outfit, they will be available on my Facebook page for the show, which is Ridiculous Ramblings. My hair was big, my eyes covered in blue eyeshadow, and of course, you can't forget the iconic bubblegum pink lip gloss. The only thing higher than my hair was the energy from the 1985. The lights, the music, the singing and dancing, and how they engage with the audience. If you haven't been to one of their shows, I highly, highly recommend it. It's an absolutely family-friendly event that everyone will be sure to love. You can catch the 1985 next on Friday, January 31st, at the Acorn in Three Oaks, Michigan. Definitely get your tickets ahead of time because Saturday's show was sold out. Head over to the1985band.com to grab tickets, check out past shows, and score some totally rad merch. You can follow the 1985 on social media as well. You can check out their Facebook and Instagram pages, or you can like and subscribe to their channel over on YouTube. My loves, I have a question for you. Man, I'm really making you guys sweat today. Announcements. Now I've got a question for you. I promise this one's pretty easy. What did you want to be when you grew up? Did you achieve that goal? Are you still working towards it? When I was little, I was obsessed with dinosaurs. My dad, he loves telling this story. Hey, Dad, love you. I was around 4 years old, and my dad and I were having a conversation, and I stopped him mid-sentence and I asked him, Daddy, do you know the name of the dinosaur that has horns protruding from its head? It's a Triceratops. Knowing my love of dinosaurs, my parents took me to Dinos Alive. It featured lifelike replicas of dinosaurs with real-life sounds and interactive exhibits for children of all ages. Sounds pretty fun, right? It was a dream come true. My little four-year-old self was in heaven until my parents thought it would be real funny to sit me in front of a T-Rex display. And the roar of the mighty Tyrannosaurus Rex struck fear into my little heart. After that, I was done with dinosaurs. Well, except for one. Denver the Last Dinosaur. Ugh. Denver was a cartoon from the 80s about a group of California teenagers who find this dinosaur egg and they decide to hatch it. Well, they didn't know it was a dinosaur egg at the time. They just found an egg and was like, hey, what's this? And much to their surprise, it's a dinosaur. The teenagers try to teach Denver all about the modern age while keeping him from being discovered by the show's villain, Morton Fizbat. They get into all kind of zany adventures, but my favorite thing was they taught him how to play the guitar. Denver learns how to play an electric guitar. So dinosaur who learns how to play rock music. Yeah, that should have been a sign way back then. In the opening credits, it shows Denver and he is wearing his iconic pink sunglasses, but he also has an electric pink guitar. And they did release a plush version of Denver at the height of the show's popularity. And it did have his iconic pink sunglasses, but no pink guitar. Well, my dad fixed that for me. He made a little wooden guitar and painted it pink for me. So that way I had the full Denver the Dinosaur ensemble. Oh, man. I absolutely loved that. Boy, that was my little comfort. I didn't have a blanket. I had Denver the Dinosaur. And I took him everywhere that I went. But tragically, he disappeared. I had taken Denver to church with me one day and someone stole him. I was heartbroken. My parents looked everywhere for Denver. They asked other families from the church if they took him home accidentally thinking it belonged to one of their kids. But nobody turned him in. This was before the days of eBay, so there was no way to track down another Denver. I have my own theories on who took him, but he was lost forever. I just hope that he brought this kid as much joy as he brought me. And a little off topic, but another random theory that I have. Speaking of dinosaurs, Nessie the Loch Ness Monster. She's real. She's a Spinosaurus. No one can convince me that she's not. Floating log. Oh, ye of little faith. As I grew up, I started to fall in love with the idea of possibly being a doctor. But my fear of failure and self-doubt made me take a 9-to-5 until I figured out what I wanted to do with my life. Then I fell in love and got married. Had kiddos, and just kept the 9-to-5 pace. Then I got a divorce, still had kiddos, and decided to rediscover myself. Along with my passion for dinosaurs and medicine, I've always had a passion for singing as well. I grew up Pentecostal, apostolic, so the only place I'd ever sang was at church. Well, in my bathroom too, but I mean, who doesn't sing in the shower, right? I wanted to be a singer so badly. I still do. I'm still searching, still writing. I'm still chasing my dream. But is that all I want? Maybe. But since I started this podcast, it's piqued my interest in broadcasting and media production. So I am doing my research and hopefully soon your girl's gonna be a middle-aged college student. It is never too late to achieve your dreams, my loves. I am going to get back to singing here in my bathroom real soon. Sounds weird, right? Let me explain. I was in the bathroom getting ready one day, and I had a song stuck in my head like always. and I was singing while I got ready. I stopped and I thought, man, the acoustics in here are really good. My hallway also has really good acoustics. I found this out when the downstairs bathroom was occupado. I guess I could switch and do videos in both. Maybe call it Acoustics with Amy. The first time I ever sang outside of church was karaoke at my friend Brandon's house. Sup, BG? I was still a country queen at the time, so I sang Martina McBride's When God-Fearing Women Get the Blues. My cousin Anthony sang Chuck Rainey's She's a Brick House. She's mighty, mighty, letting it all hang out. Interesting song choices that night. If you've never heard Martina McBride, here's a little clip of When God-Fearing Women Get the Blues. My second karaoke experience was at my first Christmas party while I was working at SBO. After being busted singing at work after the office closed, I thought I was all alone. My coworkers were like, "Are you going to sing? You should sing." I told them, "If they have Before He Cheats, I'll sing." And dang it, they did. I kind of shot myself in the foot there. It was like the hottest song at that time. I was so nervous. I'd never sang in front of a big crowd that wasn't my church family. I was a ways down the line for my song, so I'm like, you know, maybe they'll forget about me. Maybe they've got so many people that they'll never get to me. It'll be time to like close, you know, the party down and everything. I was so, so hoping and silently praying that I would not have to get up there in front of 100 of my peers and have their attention solely focused on me. But alas, they did not forget. So I heard my name called and I walked up to the DJ and the microphone and waited for my cue. The music started bumping through the speakers and it was time to let her rip, Tater Chip. I was halfway through the first verse and everyone started turning around. By the time I hit the chorus, everyone was watching and clapping and hollering. And when the song was over, everyone just like exploded into this, like, I still get nervous. And it's been, over 15 years? This roar of clapping and cheering. And I was so stunned. I just walked back to my table, said my goodbyes to everyone I was sitting with, and hit the door. Real brave, aren't I? The following Monday, everyone at work was complimenting me on my singing. They even offered to take up donations for me to go try out for American Idol. My mom was a patient of Dr. Kim's at the time, and at her follow-up visit, he told her, "Amy has a very good voice, but why did she pick such an angry song? Maybe I should have picked a Beatles song for him instead." Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Sorry, I'm still recovering from a little cold. Not only does Dr. Kim have great taste in music, but in my opinion, he is hands down one of the best total joint surgeons in our area. He is very knowledgeable, kind, and compassionate, and he truly cares about his patients and his staff. All around, just a really great human being. Now, this was a little bit later in my career at SBO, but I was pregnant with the twins, and in the waiting room, we had two of those old school bun coffee makers, like I don't know how many gallons they were, but the big steel containers that had the little spout on the bottom to pour it. I mean, you know how to get coffee, right? If you were the closer for the front desk, that was part of your task for the evening, was to empty and clean them for the next day. I had just finished cleaning up the waiting room and it was time to tackle the coffee maker. Saved it for last. I grabbed the containers and started carrying them to the back to get them drained and washed out. And when I walked back there, Dr. Kim was at his computer. He saw me carrying those two big containers and he jumped up and said, "Hey, sit those down." I'm like, "Okay." So I sat him down on the ground. And then Dr. Kim came and lifted them up into the sink and helped me like tip them over and drain them. And then got them all washed out. And then he carried them back to the waiting room and told me, "You shouldn't be carrying those around. I'm going to talk to Sue in the morning. This is going to be your last time picking up those heavy pots." I mean, who does that? Dr. Kim. As I mentioned, I was pregnant during that time. I had a very rough pregnancy with the twins. I went into preterm labor at 26 weeks, so I spent almost 2 months in the hospital on monitored bed rest. My mom had her first knee surgery at the time, and Dr. Kim was her surgeon. My mom had mentioned that I was downstairs at the maternity ward and explained what was going on. And probably about an hour after that, I heard a knock on my door, and to my surprise, in walked Dr. Kim. He stopped by to say hello and make sure we were all doing okay and offered his best wishes for a good outcome. Dr. Kim made a lasting impression on me, not just as an outstanding surgeon and employer, but just as a kind and caring person. You know, it's crazy. I mentioned I wanted to be a singer, but I get terrible stage fright. Even when I was making my bathroom acoustics for TikTok, I would get so nervous and it was just me in my bathroom. But it's a big change, though, going from karaoke to live music where there's no words on the screen to tell you when to come in. But I'm still practicing, and like they say, practice makes perfect. There are many famous singers who struggle with stage fright as well. Most famously, according to our good friends at Google, not endorsing the show, is Miss Barbara Streisand. Miss Streisand even avoided live performances for a long period after a particularly bad stage fright episode where she forgot the lyrics during a show. That is absolutely one of my biggest fears. Forgetting the words and my voice cracking, because yeah, that happens sometimes. One night I had a Michigan fruit snack and was bored. So I went and sat on my bathroom floor and just sang. Just me, sitting on my bathroom floor, just chilling, just vibing to the acoustics. And I even serenaded some Snapchat pals as well. Sorry, guys. But my favorite fruit snack story has got to be the night I got my nose pierced. One Saturday, I was alone and decided, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to go get my nose pierced. I've wanted to do it for a long time. Now I'm going to go get it did. So I went and got my nose pierced. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to buy some fruit snacks as well. I should preface this story with mentioning I had picked out a small stud for my nose ring. Trust me, it's pivotal to the following story. So I went and got my nose pierced, got snacks, and I got all set up. I got some regular snacks, some water, and found something random on TV to watch. And I had my little snacky snack and just kicked back waiting to see what happened. It started very slowly. The warm and fuzzy feeling kind of creeped up there a little bit. And then I am just chill. So I muted the TV and turned on Slow Burn by Bumpin' Uglies. Great song for the occasion, in case you have a playlist for such activities. I'm just vibing, and I started getting hungry. Problem solved, though. I had my snacks ready to go. I'm just bopping away with the uglies, popping some grapes, and just enjoying the night. And then I realized, oh man, I ate my snacks already. So I started getting out of bed to go refill my snack supply, and that's when I see it. My nose ring is lying on the bed. I started freaking out. Oh my God, my nose ring fell out. What if I can't get it back in? I can't drive to the tattoo shop now. What am I going to do? Oh, I guess I could call my sister if I can't get it back in. Wait, no, I can do this. I've got this. At that point, I started crying because I realized, what if I can't do this? I'm the only adult here, and I was not doing a good job adulting. So I grabbed my nose ring and I head into the bathroom to see if I can get it back in. I am holding this thing like it is a delicate treasure, absolutely terrified to drop it. So I get into the bathroom, I turn the lights on, and I'm getting ready to look into the mirror. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I've got to do this. I'm going to get this back in. I'm going to grab more snacks and then everything will be fine. We'll get back to just chilling for the night. When I looked into the mirror, lo and behold, my nose ring was still in place. So, dear listener, what was I holding in my hand and crying over? A grape stem. I touched my nose and cried even harder because my cute little blue gem stud was still there. My very first experience is a second favorite, though. I was gifted a snack by a friend, so I waited till the kiddos were away for the weekend and decided to break out my secret treat. But I was not prepared the first time. No, no. So I was still smoking at the time and went outside for a quick smoke before everything kicked in. I went out and I sat on the driveway by my van and it just absolutely snuck up on me. I was talking to a friend and, you know, we were texting back and forth and everything and I fell asleep outside. I woke up sometime later freezing and was like, I cannot believe I fell asleep outside. So I get up off the ground and I shuffle into the house, answered one of the many text messages from my friend asking if I was okay or if they needed to send help. And I made it back inside and I just curled up and went to bed. The next morning, I woke up and decided to go grab some breakfast and I can't find the keys to my van. A thought popped into my head, but nah, there's no way. Oh, there was a way. I left my keys outside right next to the van. Somebody was definitely looking out for me that night. One of my favorite treats, with or without herbal candy, is cake. Oh, God, I love cake. Buttercream frosting only, though. None of that whipped nonsense. Oh, in the words of Jimmy Fallon, ow. I had my special treat, and after an hour, I needed the snacky snack. So I headed to the kitchen to see what I could find. I wanted cake, and I was so disappointed that there was no cake. So I'm like, yeah, I'll just make a sandwich, you know, we'll be fine. And when I opened up the fridge to grab the turkey and mayo, it was honestly like a light was shining and I could hear the hallelujah chorus because right there on the second shelf was a carrot cake. I forgot I had bought cake. How can you forget that you bought a cake? The same way you forget how to use an air fryer, but that's another story for another day. I was so excited. I started dancing around the kitchen and I grabbed the cake and I grabbed a fork and I sat on my kitchen floor in absolute pure bliss and ate my cake. Speaking of special snacks and vibing out, there's still time to grab tickets for Bumpin' Uglies last January tour dates. You can get ugly with the boys on January 30th in Morgantown, West Virginia with Joey Harcum and Toby Raps. And January 31st in Cleveland, Ohio with Joey Harcum and Derek McBride. Head over to www.bumpanduglysmusic.com to grab your tickets now. Check out their sweet merch while you're there too. They just dropped some pretty wicked shades. So while you're on island time, you can keep the sun on your skin, but out of your eyes, in true BU fashion. Or if you're not going to be able to make it in January and you want to be ahead of the game, you can get your tickets now for Bumpin' Ugly's February tour dates. BU's February dates are February 1st in Cleveland, Ohio, with Toby Raps and Joint Operation. Dang, Ohio, quit hogging the uglies. Leave some for the rest of us. February 21st in Stevensville, Maryland, with the Grilled Lincolns. February 22nd in Winchester, Virginia, with Joey Harcum, the Grilled Lincolns, and Adam Almany. I personally can't wait till March 28th when the uglies come to Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm so ready, fam. Let's go. Well, I think that about does it for today. I hope wherever you're listening from, you guys are doing not just well, but fantastic. I hope you are absolutely thriving. I hope you have an amazing week. And if you haven't already, but you'd like to, you can leave a comment, topic for a discussion, or just a hey girl, hey. You can reach out through the show's Facebook page, which is Ridiculous Ramblings, or the show's website, www.ridiculousramblings.com, or you can go old school and send me a message at ridiculousramblings@gmail.com. Please remember to enjoy your fruit snacks responsibly. Don't fall asleep outside and leave your keys out there as well. Until next time, ta-ta for now. Okay, love you. Bye.